You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Gonna take it.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Welcome to another episode of the Ryan and Goodman podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He's Bob Ryan. And Bob, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to talk about. A busy trade deadline for the NBA and the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight upon us here in Indianapolis. And where do you want to start? You want to start with the biggest move of the trade deadline or non-move?
Well, the biggest non-move was Kyrie still got a home in Toronto.
Yeah.
The second biggest non-move was Lonzo's not going anywhere yet. Right?
Yeah. Okay. What do you mean yet?
Yeah, they already got the ticker tape parade ready in New York for when he shows up. That's what they're being led to believe by the hyperactive New York media, you know, so hyperventilating New York media. My friends of mine, you know, no problem. But the biggest, you know, first of all, 44 players.
Wow.
The most in 30 years.
That's crazy.
23 teams involved. So it was an incredibly busy day for the league's front office, secretarial staff or whatever.
Especially down there in Orlando, right?
Can you imagine all the, people don't understand these trades got to be approved. There's contracts got looked over. There's all kinds of dreary paperwork that only a police department could relate to, right? That goes along with. So it's a very busy day in New York. I can tell you that. But you do have we can start with either or. Okay. Victor Oladipo was a subject of much discussion.
That's the biggest move.
And we knew he was going to go somewhere that Houston. And he goes to Miami. And for a player who wasn't playing, an expiring contract guy who I think he's going to be sought by other people too, Olynyk, Avery Bradley, who's not been able to play much this year.
Right.
And swapping rights in the 2022 first round draft picks thing and to Miami. And I'm asked you, do you think this moves Miami closer up the ladder in the Eastern pecking order?
It gives them a shot. I would say it's worth rolling the dice on. Again, Avery Bradley, we love Avery Bradley, but he's towards the end of his career here. But Kelly Olynyk, you know, is a serviceable, good second unit big. Absolutely worth the 1 year rental potentially, and maybe Victor Oladipo signs beyond that. But I think you got two killer wings now in Jimmy Butler and Victor Oladipo that are tough, that can guard, that are going to fight you. And we know what Miami did last year in the bubble. And can they take it one step further? No, probably not. But like, can they get back to where they were? Maybe.
I think the key thing for them was they didn't have to give up either Hero or Duncan Robinson.
Right.
They added on essentially is what they did. You know, they could live without Kelly Olynyk. And by the way, he'll be around forever and ever.
Yep.
He can make shots. You know, he's good to have around. He'll be sought after. In fact, there's even a rumor already the Celtics are interested in reacquiring him. And so I'm just, you know, that's out there. It's all, you know, I'm not giving it any credence. I'm saying it's out there. And it wouldn't bother, Nader, last time I saw him, he was dropping 25 in a playoff game, if you remember, in a sudden form.
Okay. I think it was worth it, again, for Miami to roll the dice because, to me, you put Butler and Oladipo with, like you said, with Duncan Robinson, with Dragic, like maybe they can make a run to the NBA Finals again. I don't know if they have enough to beat the Nets. But again, we just don't know what the Nets are going to look like come crunch time. We don't know.
And so, you know, but you still got the Bucks who are playing better now. Yep. And you got Philadelphia once they get Embiid back, and we know how good they can be. And they made a move, although we're going to get to that. It's almost, you know. But anyway, next up, and maybe not next up, depending on, you know, because a two-time All-Star who's at the prime of his career, Nikola Vucevic, has moved on to Chicago. And now they've got Markkanen, and they've got, of course, Zach LaVine, who I think is the best kept secret in the entire league for a guy who's putting up boxcar numbers every night.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tweeted about this earlier in the year, and they came back and I didn't guard anybody. I'm just saying the guy can score. I know this. I'm not saying he's the greatest player in the world, but boy, he's a force. And now he's been having to carry that. He has had to carry that team's offense to a disproportionate degree. And that should cease now with Vucevic. So people, and I'm one of them. Hands up, okay? Get my middle European big men are often hard to distinguish. In fact, I was thinking about writing a column about this, and I think it's fun, you know, your Jokic and your Vucevic and your
Nurkic,
Nurkic, right? And Valsunas, anyway, this guy happens to be in Montenegro. And everybody, by the way, they said it's a very beautiful vacation spot. I mean, wondering Montenegro. Okay, he's in Montenegro.
You know who we can distinguish? He's easy. Darko Milicic.
All right. Yes, the albatross that hung around Joe Dumars' neck for an entire career. Okay. For people who don't know, he's currently averaging. I got him right here. He's currently averaging. 24 points a game. He's averaged over the last 3 years, 21 and 11.
Yeah.
Over the last 3 years, he's a four. He's a player.
He's a player. I mean, he can score the basketball.
This alters the look that the Chicago Bulls can put on the floor every night. And what did they give? And they also get Farouk Aminu.
Yeah. Who's
a serviceable player.
Yes.
But Kendall Carter, who I think is a capital B bust, don't you? And Otto Porter.
I don't know if he's Wendell's that bad, but I think Wendell's a solid piece is what Wendell Carter is. Where obviously, to me, again, Vucevic is a guy he's an all-star caliber player. And you're adding that in Chicago to another all-star. Now, they're not like high-end all-stars, but you got two maybe of the top 25-ish players in the league in LaVine and Vucevic. And you've got a good young group kind of around them with Markkanen, and young Patrick Williams is going to be really good. So Billy Donovan's got enough now to take this team. I like this move by Arturis Karnišević. I really like it.
Yes, I think so. I think I'd be very happy if I were a Chicago fan. And also, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff, the 21 and 23, they're 1-4 protected on the draft picks.
Yep. Yeah.
So that even that's a great move by Karnišević. Yeah,
and they won't be. So you can't even get Karnišević. That's a tough one for you, right?
I know, now. And I go way back with him too. I should have been able to say that. So anyway, they definitely get a rave reviews from everybody this
morning. And they should.
Another big name that went with the house cleaning that was done in Orlando, Florida, is Aaron Gordon.
Yep.
Who now goes to Denver. And they gave up Gary Harris. Okay. And RJ Hampton, that's who's a young, you know, who knows what he's going
to do. Yeah, they gave up on him quick.
And a number one. But right away, you know, Denver, you know, I was on the Denver bandwagon and back in Bubble Land. Okay. And I still think, you know, we talked a lot about Michael Porter Jr. We saw what Murray did. And of course, you know, who doesn't love, you know, the other guy? Mr. Jokic.
Yeah, no.
This is an interesting addition, don't you think?
Yeah, I've always loved Aaron Gordon.
Subtraction.
I've loved Aaron Gordon. because he plays with a high motor. He's super tough. You know, his shot's gotten better. He's a good locker room guy. Yeah, I like it. I mean, to me, you know, Jokic, Gordon up front with Murray. I think they probably are missing one more guy in the backcourt. But they made themselves better. There's no doubt they made themselves better for now. And I'm happy to see these teams, you know, to me, taking a run at it. Take a run at it if you're Denver. And who knows what happens. Last I checked, LeBron is hurt, Bob.
There's great certainty and uncertainty in L.A. I would think the Sharks are circling in that pool in the West, of course. I mean, we know it all might work out by the time it's said and done. Yeah. Davis is, you know, cured from his current ailment. And it won't be his last, by the way, I don't think. Yeah. It's just the way it is shaping up. And LeBron, you know, who's 36 on the 30th of December. All right. So anyway, they're vulnerable right now. You know, we don't know what they're going to be. So definitely Denver has to be thinking we can help. Okay. The couple other guys that people are going to be talking about, the Clippers have acquired a point guard who is now, yeah. I'm going to give you his perambulations.
Okay.
He played with the Celtics until the 14-15 season, and he got himself a nice ring in his second year in the NBA, and he was well-deserved. Since then, Rajon Rondo has played for Dallas, Sacramento, Chicago, New Orleans, the Lakers, Atlanta, and now he is a Clipper. It's just
17.
Seven teams since he left Boston. Now, this shouldn't be based on his skill level. Should it, Jeff Goodman? So I'm just,
I think I've always said this about Rondo. Early on, he was hard for me to like. I just felt like he had an air of arrogance to him that pissed off every coach that ever coached him, including Doc Rivers. You know, he's hard to coach because he felt like he knew more than every other coach. From what I was told, he's a better locker room guy now than he was when he was with the Celtics. Like now, young players like Rondo, he still probably thinks he knows more than most coaches, but I think he goes about it a little bit differently. You know, I just think ultimately it's Rondo's not Rondo anymore. He's not a great defender anymore. He still can't shoot. That's gotten no better in his entire career. Yeah, he's a great second unit point guard. That's what he is because, again, he does make people better, Bob, period.
Well, and of course, there's the idea of the playoff Rondo. The fact is he was an important piece of the Lakers puzzle as they marched to that last championship. The fact it is true. And I think he was a popular guy with them. Certainly LeBron liked him. And he's now he's still only 35.
He can give you a couple more years.
But this is interesting. They needed a point guard and they have a legitimate point guard. You know, they still, you know, Beverly's a professional pest is what he is. And, you know, he's the guard answer to Marcus Smart, you know, I mean, and there's a limit to his usefulness and there's a usefulness, but there's a limit to it. And therefore they need something else. And they now have something else. They think they're getting, you know, that they're going to get one more playoff Rondo, you know, benefit that they're going to be the beneficiary.
How about that he was traded for Lou Williams? I can't get over every time I hear Lou Williams now, I just hear Doc Rivers on our podcast talking about Lou Will and how honest he was of like, I didn't want Lou at first. I didn't want Lou. And then, you know, and I think that was the deal here was it had run its course in LA with Lou, right?
Ty's playing him 7 minutes less a game than he played last year. He's down 28-21. And now, so naturally he's scoring less. He's scoring 12 as opposed to 18. Just a year ago. Wow. I haven't watched him to know whether he's, you know, lost that proverbial step or he can't quite get that clearance he needs.
Yeah, I mean, as you get older.
March Madness has returned and Paramount Plus has the games that you won't want to miss. Watch CBS games live on Paramount Plus, including the Final Four and National Championship game on April 5th. Paramount Plus is also the home to year-round sports, including the Masters, PGA Championship, UEFA Champions League, and the NFL, plus many more. You also get breaking news, expert picks, and highlights from all of your favorite teams with CBS Sports HQ and 24/7 Sports News Network. What I love the most about Paramount Plus also, guys, is you get the throwback shows from MTV, Nickelodeon, plus their original programming. So there's plenty there on top of the sports content for you to enjoy. Now visit ParamountPlus.com/scribe before March 31st to receive a 1 month free trial of Paramount Plus. That's ParamountPlus.com/scribe to receive a 1 month free trial of Paramount Plus. ParamountPlus.com/scribe.
He's not as old as you think because he came out of high school. He's 34. With the resume that he has, you might have thought that he'd be 38 years old. But the fact is, he's only really, quote unquote, only 34. But he's been around for 15 years. Guess what? He's going back home to where he played 7 years ago in Atlanta. Here's the
sequence. Where he grew up.
Here's the sequence for Lou Williams. So anyway, Philadelphia, Atlanta for 2 years, Toronto, Lakers, Houston, and then the Clippers in 17-18. That's his. And, you know, he got to the point where I'm thinking, you got to talk about him for the Hall of Fame. As the incredible six man, you know, he's a multiple six man guy. Well, I got to that point. Yeah. I got carried away. Okay. I see the look on your face.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
I didn't go through the computer.
I didn't want to jump through the
Zoom. Go to the mattresses on this, Jeff. I let it run through my mind. Okay. That we have to consider as a six man, you know, put him in the discussion.
We don't need to water down the Hall of Fame. It's already a little bit watered down, Bob.
I'm taking a deep breath. Okay. All right. I'm fine. And I'm sober. I'm fine. Don't worry. Okay. But that thought just kind of raced through my mind.
The Ryan and Goodman podcast brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college hoops, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Don't sit in the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay. Okay. What
else happened? Was there anything else of note other than Kyle Lowry staying in Toronto?
I think a team that, you know, they're in what I call the dangerous category. They were there last year, yeah, and they're back to where they were, out there in the far northwest. Our northwest outpost, which it should be Seattle. That's another story. Right. It's Portland, Oregon. Norman Powell for Gary Trent Jr. I'll take that swap. You know, hey, by the way, the backcourts reunited. They're back up scoring 58, 60 points a night again, those guys. You know, they had 57 last night, I think. McCollum had 32 and the other guy had 25, Lillard, something like that. You know, they're capable of dropping 60 on you any given night.
They are.
Got another. You know, Norman Powell had a breakthrough year last year, had a breakthrough, you know, I think that was a nice move. Okay. And as I'm borrowing this, I can't take credit. Somebody on ESPN when I was watching, I'd love to give him credit. I don't know who said it, but they said it can't be a trading day without George Hill going somewhere. Here's George Hill's career, folks. First of all, he's 34.
All right, go ahead. I'm going to count him.
San Antonio.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Utah.
Yeah.
Sacramento. Cleveland. Milwaukee. OKC. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the city of brotherly love.
Who holds the record? Hey, Bob, do we know who holds the record for playing for the most NBA franchises?
No, I used to know. I know I used to know all the baseball things, and we all know who's the you know, I don't. That's a homework assignment.
That would be an interesting, like, has somebody played, how many teams you think the record would be? Like 15?
I don't know I would doubt it'd be maybe a dozen. I'd be surprised if it were more than that. Yeah. But, you know, it could be.
Some of these journeymen.
It's a great ball. But George Hill, I go back to, I can remember when I was making a drive. Remember when Indiana made the great move and Roy Hibbert was still a viable force, when there was still a role in the NBA for a guy like Roy Hibbert? And they made a run. And George Hill had a terrific playoffs that year, 13. It was 13 because I was driving cross country. I remember that. And I associated with driving cross country.
No, he was great. He was great.
But George Hill, who is the greatest player, he put Ooey Pooey on the map. Just know that.
How about this? Ooey Pooey has a job vacancy right now.
Oh, they do.
Filled, that some people feel like at the end of the season here, George Hill's going to retire and get that job. I don't think it happens. But same thing with Speedy Claxton is and we can transition now if we want.
Just let me tell you, Ooey Pooey's on my list of 201, just so you know.
There you go. I like it.
Okay.
I just went. There's a great venue here that I don't – is that the one you were at? So Farmers Field.
No, it's their campus gym.
So this one's different.
You were at the Coliseum?
It's called like Farmers something.
Coliseum.
Yeah, Farmers Coliseum.
The Pacers played before they built Market.
Really? It's amazing.
That's the home of George McGinnis and Bob Nadolicki and Slick.
No way. I didn't know that.
Daryl Carrier. That's the way they played. Early 70s. I don't know, it was 71, too.
So you've been there plenty. Have you been there plenty? Once. Okay.
The Celtics played the Pacers.
A farmer's market around it. It's really weird when you drive in and there aren't any people there now, but I didn't know
it was still standing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And funny that the market square has come and gone and that thing is still there. Well, that's where I went to see the Celtics play the Pacers in the next ABA NBA exhibition. I don't know exactly what year. I'd have to go look it up. 71, 2, maybe 3. But one of those years, it was my first visit to Indianapolis, which is a very different city now than it was then. In fact, I tell everybody that it's the most improved big city in America of all the ones I have visited.
Really? It was that bad? It was that bad years ago?
Desolate,
really?
Dreary, nothing happening downtown Indianapolis in those days.
Still dreary today, Bob.
I still think it should be the permanent home of the men's tournament. And
I'm with you. All right, I'm with you, and we'll get onto it now. It's just so different right now. It's hard for me to evaluate it because obviously we don't have full capacity fans, so there's no real feel with the tournament yet.
Yeah,
now, that may change with the Final Four because then you're going to have 25% of.
Well, it's not going to be what it ought to be. And it's no possibility that buzz that permeates that city when we have a normal Final Four. And thank God they're in the rotation. And I hope I certainly am around to get back. I intend to get back on the road next year and go to the net, which is
New Orleans.
Which is New Orleans. And I'm always in favor of anything that goes on in New Orleans. And by the way, happy birthday last week to Clarence Frogman Henry. I want to point that out.
Who?
Clarence Frogman Henry gave us one of the great one-hit songs in the 50s, Ain't Got No Home.
Are you going to sing that one to us?
I can do a little part of it because he does it in multiple voices. Ooh, ooh, ooh. People who know the song know that wasn't too bad. Now, Clarence Frogman Henry in New Orleans. So anyway, I did digress a bit on that one, but there we go.
Back to Indianapolis.
Don't be what it ought to be. Yeah. But it is the perfect place for the Final Four.
Yeah, it is because it's compact, because you could see everybody there. Everything's downtown. There's a bunch of hotels.
Plenty of places to eat and drink, plenty of places to gather. The facilities. You don't have to argue about the facilities.
So my hotel goes to the canal here. It backs up to the canal so I can see it. So 2 days ago, it was beautiful, 70 degrees. I'd never even walked the canal. Great walk. Beautiful. Again, if the weather is good here, it's nice. Today, it's probably better than it is back home.
An excellent art museum. My wife assures me that she looks forward to when she goes there and everything. Now, anyway, I'm
all right, a big... So what are you looking forward to most here with the Sweet 16? Are you hoping that Oral Roberts keeps going in this deal and Max Asmus and Kevin O'Banner beat Arkansas and go to the Final Four? Are you the guy that's like, you know what? No. It was a fun story, but let's get some heavyweight, as many heavyweight matches as we can in the Final Four.
I am convinced. I've been convinced by the experts, you know, like such as yourself, that this was a sadly and underseeded team, Oral Roberts. Yeah. That you know this shouldn't have happened. And the two things that everyone seems to agree on are that they were underseeded and Loyola was underseeded. Yes. They're hardly were an eight. And Oral Roberts is better than a 15. Okay. I'm okay either way. I got nothing against Arkansas. I like the way they play. I got nothing against them. I don't have any, I can't stand them. That's from, of course, that's.
Well, there's no teams you hate in this tournament now, Bob. There's no teams that anybody real. Who's the team in the tournament?
Well, I think in the East and in the Big East, Syracuse, you know, because let's get serious. Syracuse is a buzzword for because all the media guys, you know, everybody makes jokes. The two schools that have produced the disproportionate number of media are Syracuse and Northwestern. We know that everybody seems to be either a Syracuse or a Northwestern guy. I once wrote a column before we had a regional here in which Syracuse was in. And I jokingly wrote that every office in the I-95 corridor from Washington to New York has got a Syracuse guy. And he brags about Syracuse, you know, and that just seems to me they're the one possibility where people would line up and say,
And you didn't even go into Boeheim. A lot of people.
And then there's Boeheim. You know, Jim Boeheim has created an image for himself over the years. You know, and he makes himself. I like Jim Boeheim, and he's in the category of Jim. I wish you wouldn't do these things.
Right.
Jim, why do you do these things? Don't you know? He's already had his annual. You know, his press conference, Ms. Gaff, you know, making fun of the writer for the Athletic because he's 5 feet two. And, you know, Jim, you know, stop it. You're better than that. You should not.
Yeah.
So they're the only possibility. Other than that, Jesus, I don't know. I think the story for me is still, it's the obvious story. Can Gonzaga do it? Yeah. I mean, this is 45 years. Teams have come and they've got the dual burden of not only of the history of than anybody would have, but they're on this is a 23-year run that they're on starting in 1999. And they've knocked on that door, including going to a championship game. And I don't know if their citizenry are okay with, you know, that, my God, I can't believe how lucky we've been. Or they're saying, okay, Mark, get it done. Okay, guys, get it done. These kids, you know, and is the pressure going to mount with each game? The thing that starts to worry me, you know, you're looking for things to worry about, you know, this is the fact that they have won every game but one by double digits means that they have zero experience this year as a unit in a close game against a half-decent team. Yep. And I'm sorry, I would be willing to bet they're the only one of the remaining 16 that can make that statement about whom you could say. I can't believe, I mean, I've done my homework on all other 15. But I find it hard to believe that all the other 15 had to sweat. First of all, they all had losses. Secondly, right. They won some really tight games, I would think. So
they haven't played anybody really good. Yeah. I mean, BYU is the one team that you'd say is like pretty good, but BYU got knocked out early. They weren't great. They played them three times. Other than that, the last decent, and I don't even think Virginia was that good. That was the last decent team they played. Was December 26th was the last team that, you know, they played Kansas early. Kansas, we know, wasn't very good.
Nope.
They played West Virginia, Iowa, and Virginia. Now, they're a great team. But again, like, Virginia's not great. Kansas isn't great. Now, they beat them all, and they beat them all pretty handily. So we know Gonzaga's a great team, but it's not like they've run the gauntlet here by any means.
No, we were deprived of a game with Baylor due to COVID, which would have been very interesting.
I'm glad we didn't get it because now I want to get it in the national title game.
And Baylor, would you agree? I think they have survived in the immediate aftermath of their 3-week absence with COVID, they lost twice. They didn't look the same. We said, oh, they're not the same. The team I've been watching in this tournament, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I picked him to win it all. I talked to Scott Drew the other day, and the one thing he said was, listen, We came out of the pause. They played a game after two practices. And he said, and then everything was jammed up because of the pause. So we're playing a bunch of games in a short period of time. So we didn't have a chance to practice. It was play a game, prepare for the next game, play the next game, maybe have one practice in between if we're lucky. So they didn't have a chance to get better back to what they were defensively. And that's honestly the differentiator between Baylor and Gonzaga, and Baylor and a lot of other teams, is their defense can be so good. I mean, they've got arguably, you could say, two of the top five defensive players in the country, and Davion Mitchell and Mark Vidal. And I think Villanova is going to be in trouble here. I think it's finally going to catch up to him, the injury to Colin Gillespie.
Mark Vidal, well, he plays hard.
Yeah.
He plays hard. There's a spot in the NBA for him just on his body size and the way he attacks the game.
He's a defensive guy, just a killer, tough as hell, who just, like you said, all he cares about is screening. The problem with him is he's not overly, if he was like 6'10".
Yeah, is he 6'8 or 6'7"? What is he?
I think 6'7".
Well, I hope there's a spot for him because he'll I'll tell you what, he's one of those guys. You bring him. I used to have a category and bring him to camp. He'll make your guys wish that you hadn't.
Yeah, no doubt. Those other players.
He's gonna be one of those guys. Right. I think at the very least.
I would agree with that.
This episode of the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast is brought to you by LinkedIn. 2021 is looking up. New beginnings means new opportunities to grow your business. And if part of your strategy is adding new members to your team, well, LinkedIn Jobs finds that right person very quickly. To make things better, your job post is absolutely free. When your business is ready to make that next hire, find the right person with LinkedIn Jobs. And now you can post a job for free when you head over to linkedin.com/scribe. LinkedIn is an active community of professionals with more than 722 million members worldwide. Getting started is easier than ever with new features to help you find qualified candidates quickly. Post a job with targeted screening questions and LinkedIn will quickly get your role in front of more qualified candidates. As functions are streamlined onto one simple screen, and now you can do this from your mobile device. No matter where you are, no matter where the day takes you, that's how LinkedIn Jobs can help you hire the right person faster. And let's face it, a hell of a lot easier, right? When your business is ready to make that next hire, find the right person with LinkedIn Jobs. And now you can post a job for free. Just visit linkedin.com/scribe. Again, that's linkedin.com/scribe to post a job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, now let's get back to Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman.
A team that caught my eye because I hadn't seen them, and I went, whoa, what have I been missing, was Oregon.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. And they're well coached. Altman's a great coach.
Dana Altman is in the business. Everybody knows him. And people should know more about, you know, the respect he has in the business. How good is that? Now, the team they're playing, I just haven't seen their games. And I know they have to be playing well, USC, you know, and I know about Mobley. Yeah. But I haven't seen them. But how about, let's just stick Larry Scott, you know, is he strutting around town? I mean, what? Larry Scott.
Around town with all his money, all the money that he basically stole from the Pac-12 over the last however many years.
And he takes a lot of media shit, and he probably deserves a lot of it for a lot of reasons in football and everything else. But right now, I'm sure he's strutting around town, and they got four teams in the 16.
It's amazing. What's more surprising to you, that the Pac-12 has four teams or that the Big Ten only has one?
It's got to be the latter. If you go back, if people want to go find out things I've written and said in the last 3 months as I was jumping on big time the Big Ten bandwagon, and you know, how, what a deep, amazingly wonderful conference, and how many teams there are I love to watch, and it's all true. I did. I'm stunned that they're all out, but and that the one who survives is the one I thought was going out first because they lost one of the three best players, Larry. I keep Larry Livers because there was a Larry Livers who was Larry Livers for Villanova back in the 60s. But that's another story for another day. Isaiah Livers.
Yeah.
I wrote them out just like I wrote out Colin Gillespie. Never thought Villanova would get this far. Yeah. I should know better. But I'm surprised to that degree. But, you know, four Pac-12 was given, you know – I mean, I know who also strutting around town, my good friend Bill Walton.
Oh, the conference of champions.
Conference of champions. You know that.
Yes. And I didn't see this coming, and I'm a Pac-12 guy, having
gotten
Nobody saw this coming. Nobody thought Wayne Tinkle and Oregon State were going to get this far. Nobody thought UCLA was going to be in the Sweet 16. And what makes it more impressive, Bob, was that the restrictions put in place in California were such that those California schools weren't able to practice. Like, Mick Cronin didn't see his guys in person for like 6 months after the pandemic hit. So they were way further behind than most schools in terms of early on in the season. And I think that's one of the reasons you're seeing they kind of play catch up and got better and better. And usually, and it did hit them a little bit. I mean, they have five teams in the tournament where maybe they would have had a sixth if they didn't have all this. And, you know, but they did okay enough in the non-conference to be able to get five in. And man, I just can't believe we're talking about four being among the Sweet 16.
No, not at all. So I keep looking at, you know, the Saturday games, you know, feature a 12, a 15, and an 11, you know, which is really interesting, you know. And then we agreed that the 15 was underseeded. And by the way, you know, I wouldn't be shocked to be in any way if they beat Arkansas. If they play if they continue to play the way that they're playing, and then I would say absolutely. That they could do it. Those two guys have really played great basketball. We have to talk about a little bit about Loyola and the fact that you know, so much people. You know, I'm president of I'm a member. I'm on the board of directors of the Cameron Cutwig fan club, as you well know. But what really jumped out at me in the last time that Illinois game was Williamson and Kennedy. You know, they got legitimate athletes.
Who does? Who?
Loyola.
Oh, Loyola's they're just so disciplined, especially in the defensive end. They got guys who can make shots. The big kid Krutwig is tremendous. He's just so skilled. A veteran who obviously played in the Final Four 3 years ago. Listen, Porter Moser's done an incredible job of that program the last 4 years.
Yeah, and you know that a lot of people are going, you know, they should be loading up the Brinks truck and Bloomington and driving out to Chicago when this is over and saying, okay, Porter, how much do you need? But, you know,
I think you should go to Marquette. I think Marquette fits Porter better than Bloomington. And Bloomington, they're just so unrealistic about their expectations that I just don't know how much fun it is for, I mean, if you hit it, that's one thing, but you know, kids these days aren't growing up wanting to play at Indiana anymore. They're just Marquette's got the resources. They're in a league that's not winnable, but you can finish in the top three in the Big East a whole lot easier than you can finish in the top three in the Big Ten. So I would go to Marquette if I was him.
You give Creighton any shot?
Yeah, I give him a shot. I mean, listen, they got a local kid who's one of the best point guards in the country, and Marcus Zagorowski from Hamilton, Mass. They've got one of the best shooters in the country in Mitch Ballack, who could match, if Greg McDermott ever got him to shoot more, he could literally match Corey Kispert bucket for bucket from three. So you're talking Suggs Zagorowski, Kispert, Ballack. Timmy's the one that nobody has an answer for. Nobody has an answer for Drew Timmy.
I figured who I got to, you know, reminds me of on Timmy.
Go ahead.
The young Pau Gasol.
That's a good one. That's actually a really good one. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's his skill set. He's a skilled, you know, there's talented big men, there's aggressive big men, you know, but even in the NBA, there's different categories of it. Skilled big men, is a little bit of absolutely everything, I think. Timmy's I think he's a young Pau Gasol. And you might, Zagorowski could drop 30 on him, easy. I mean, on anybody at any given time.
Like, you got a junior point guard who's really good, one of the best point guards in the country, going up against a freshman in Jalen Suggs. You know, Creighton's older. They're deeper. I'm not sure I'm not sure they beat him, but they can score the ball. Now, again, can they stop Gonzaga? No, they can't. But I don't think Gonzaga can probably hold down Creighton either defensively. I think it's going to be the most fun game. Mm-hmm. Of the Sweet 16, probably the one that I had to pick between So I tried, I think I told you last week, I tried to get David Warlock to allow me to do all eight games.
Yes.
During the day, he wouldn't let it happen. I don't know why exactly. So,
yeah.
So I've tried now for the Sweet 16, which would be harder to do, to be honest, to let me cover all four on Saturday and Sunday. It's hard because they're backed up. So I probably couldn't do all four. They're about Hinkle to Bankers Life is about 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
So I'd miss like the first part of the first half at each game, but it would be fun to do. It'd be really fun to do, Bob, if I could pull it off. So I'm waiting to hear back from Warlock whether he's going to allow me to do that or not. But, you know, to me, I think the best game of the tourney for me on, if you're looking through, I picked Villanova-Baylor and Syracuse-Houston, those two. Over Oregon State Loyola and Oral Roberts Arkansas. As much as I want to be there for the Oral Roberts game, I just felt like the Villanova Baylor and the Syracuse Houston were probably better games.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And then Sunday, I went with this was tougher. So you either can go Florida State Michigan and UCLA Alabama or Creighton Gonzaga and Oregon USC. I went Creighton Gonzaga and Oregon, USC.
Yeah, you want to be there if Creighton goes down.
Right. Really.
You have to look at that. Journalistically speaking, you have to. You got to be there.
That was my take. Is that's going to become the story now? Like it really hasn't the undefeated season. It really hasn't been a huge story, but it will be if they get to the Final Four.
Yeah, I would. I can't imagine. I still think that's a rather obvious one to me. So, yeah, I think you're making good choices there. But, hey, they're all fun choices. I'm glad you're lucky to be there, I think, in this circumstance. And, I always love this time of year.
It'll be fun. Can't wait. And we will see you guys next week.
Yeah.
The Ryan and Goodman podcast. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to your pods.